Well, our passage this morning is, of course, one that's very well known. Perhaps folks who don't know the Bible much at all will know something about the parable of the sower. And probably most folks know that the Lord Jesus often spoke in parables. And it was one of the distinctive things about his preaching. Parable is just a short story, even a saying, or a kind of word picture that conveys some important truth or a message. But perhaps not many people know why the Lord spoke in parables. Why did the Lord Jesus speak in parables? Now, usually it's thought, well, it was just a great way of getting his message across. Our Lord is, of course, the greatest preacher, teacher that who has ever lived. And so he would put things in simple ways, using everyday items, objects, pictures people knew, so that he could make heavenly things plain and simple for folks. It was a way of getting the message home, making it memorable. Well, there's certainly truth to that. But it's not the whole story. And there's much more to the parables and why the Lord spoke in parables. And this is something that the passage we've got in Matthew this morning records for us. The disciples heard the parables, and then in private they come to the Lord and they say, Why are you speaking this way? And because almost certainly a lot of the people didn't understand what he was saying. And the Lord actually says to them, he spoke in parables in part to rebuke the people. To rebuke the people. That he spoke in parables also as a way to obscure the truth. To, in a sense, even hide the truth. As a rebuke to a sinful and stubborn people who refused to listen to God's word. To put it simply, the parables were kind of like a hearing test. The Lord was testing the hearing of the people. And the parables, this method, it exposed what was really in people's hearts. It showed up who was really willing to listen to God's word, to accept God's word, to receive it, and who wouldn't. Well, as the Lord puts it in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what he really means is those with ears to hear means those who were really willing to receive and to believe his word. And they would hear in the parables the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And those without ears to hear, what he means in this little idiom, is those who've already closed their hearts. They've already closed their minds to the truth. They've closed their ears. And certainly to them, well, the parables are going to remain a total mystery. Not going to understand them. And the great point that the Lord takes us to in this passage is he would ask all of us. He would ask you to search your heart this morning. Are you really willing to listen to his word? To really take it in and receive it and believe it and live by it? See, every time we come to God's word, it's not just that you are listening to it and to study it and discriminate and learn. God's word is examining you. Whenever you hear God's word, it will have an effect. It is powerful. Either it will further soften your heart and you will be growing in the grace of God, or if you turn away from it, you will become more hardened in sin and your resistance to God will grow. The Puritans used to have a saying that the same sun that melts the ice hardens the mud. And the light of God's word will have an effect one way or the other. Every time you hear, are you really willing to open your heart and hear the word of God? And so if you look at me first at verses 11 and 12, the first thing the Lord teaches the disciples is the parables reveal who has been given ears to hear. Who's been given ears to hear? He says to them, to the disciples, it has been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But about the crowd on the outside, he says to them, it has not been given. God has given the disciples ears to hear, an ability to understand, to know and receive the truth. He's not given that same ability of spiritual insight and understanding to others. And the key word here is given. This was given to the disciples. True spiritual understanding, a true saving faith and saving knowledge of God, to know the mysteries of the kingdom, that's just another way of saying the truths of the gospel that have been revealed from heaven, who Jesus is and what he's done to save us, the way to his kingdom, these mysteries of the kingdom, to really know them, understand them and believe them, that is a gift that God gives to someone. God has graciously given that gift to the disciples, and therefore they understand and believe. Now, there's layers to this, there's layers. On a natural level, the Lord means, well, he's going to give the disciples more teaching. He's going to explain the parables to them. And from verse 18 onwards, that's what he does. It's maybe hard for us, because after many, many centuries, we've all heard the meaning and interpretation of this parable. But if you could somehow transport yourself back in time and were there on the shore of the sea, listening to the Lord just give that bare parable in the first 9 verses, it's not at all clear what it means. If you were hearing that for the very first time, maybe you'd understand it's an allegory of some kind, but what exactly does it mean? Who's the sower? What's the seed? What's these different salts? What's the point? I don't get it. And so certainly one way that the disciples are set apart is they've got more of the word of God and Jesus teaches them and he tells them exactly what it means. And it wasn't given to the crowd. But the Lord means more than that. He's telling the disciples that there's something supernatural happening. There's a natural hearing of the words. But there is a supernatural kind of hearing. Having spiritual ears. An ability to really know the truth. Perceive it and receive it as God's word. That when you hear it, you know it's true. It's a kind of hearing where the truth enters your heart and mind and it powerfully changes you. You can't unsee, you can't unhear that it's really true. And you're changed. There's a hearing that is salvation, that you hear and you're saved. And that's really the kind of hearing he's talking about, a saving work of God in their hearts. That's a gift, he says, that God's given them into their sinful hearts, a gracious gift. Now it is, here's where 1 Corinthians is very helpful. What the Lord is talking about is it's another way of describing the work of the Holy Spirit, the gracious work of the Spirit in our hearts. If you want to turn there again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and particularly from maybe from about verse 11 onwards. You see there, the Apostle Paul says that there are two kinds of people. There's spiritual people. It doesn't mean people who are into, you know, kind of mystical mumbo jumbo or just vaguely religious or anything like that. No, he means people who've been given the Spirit of God. People who are born again. And the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives. They are the spiritual people. And then the other kind of person is what he calls the natural person or the fleshy person. That's someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Not a Christian and the Holy Spirit's not at work in their life. And he says, look, without the Spirit, it's impossible to understand God's truth. It's impossible to really understand the gospel, to hear it, know it, and believe it and be saved. Only the spiritual person, through the benefit of the Holy Spirit working within them, only then do they have the mind of Christ. Do they know the things of God? Do they really understand and perceive that it's true? And the Lord is talking about that same kind of thing here. You're seeing here the same thing. There's the spiritual, the disciples, and there's the natural, those on the outside. And it's stressing to us the vital importance of the work of God, the Holy Spirit in our hearts, if we're going to hear his word. It's very similar. There's a moment later on in Matthew's gospel which we might come to in a few weeks, in chapter 16, where the disciple Peter is the very first person to confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Lord asks them, you know, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Peter's the first one to get it. Really see the heart of the gospel, the good news. But then Jesus says to him, it's verse 17 in Matthew 16. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he says, Peter, you've understood the truth because God has given it to you. He's given you that ability to understand and perceive the real spiritual truth. It's a gift. Now, why is this so important? Well, it's very humbling. It's very humbling. It shows us that we really are helpless without God. Without the Holy Spirit teaching us, working in us, applying the truth to us, none of us, just on our natural abilities, will really understand the gospel and be saved. That there is a kind of hearing in the heart that saves, that only the Holy Spirit can create in you. That even before you might first have come to believe and confess and become a Christian, there had to be this work of the Spirit first, this gift of grace in the heart. And so it's very humbling because it means without it, none of us are going to grasp hold of the truth and be saved. That's how helpless we are, how blind we are in sin, how dead we are in sin. Unless the Spirit is at work, we won't see it. And so it's not about how clever you are, naturally. How many books you might have read. I can't hold a candle to more than half of you, I'm sure. And yet before God, we all just stand like helpless little children. And do not understand the mysteries of the gospel. On the plus side, someone who maybe isn't a great shakes naturally, they might know more as a saint, far, far more than the world's cleverest person. And what does the Lord say to the disciples about this? Well, he says, well, it means surely for those of us who are Christians, if we've heard the word of God and we believe it, we must thank God for this gracious gift he's given. The Lord says to them, blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears. You are not a Christian because you were clever enough to figure it out. It's because God's Holy Spirit opened your eyes and led you to the truth. Once you were blind, but by God's grace now you see. And so how blessed are you if you know and you believe? And so this is the first thing the Lord is saying to the disciples by teaching them the parables. It reveals who has those real ears, this gift of God, this work of the Spirit, and how humble, how thankful, how blessed we should be because of this. And those who've been given this, he says, you'll be given more, even an abundance of understanding and of the knowledge of God and of his ways and of a relationship with God, you will be given even more. But then it comes the really controversial bit. Because then the Lord, the second thing he goes on to say, is the parables also reveal who has closed their ears. Look at me at verses 13 to 15 in particular. And the Lord tells us very plainly, he spoke in parables as a rebuke to those who didn't want to hear the message. I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear. Now remember the context. We've seen in the last few weeks that the Pharisees and many of the people rejected the Lord. They saw his signs, they heard him preaching, and they refused to believe in him. They called him a servant of the devil. Now why? Well, as we've seen before in the gospel, they didn't like the message. The Lord said, you're all sinners. Even you good religious folks. You're all sinners and not good enough. And you all need grace and mercy. And they didn't like that message. They didn't like him saying, repent, you all need to get right with God. They thought they were better than that. So they didn't like the message, so they rejected it. They didn't want to hear. And so in response, the Lord says, well, beware, you might be the last generation in Israel. You reject me as the last God's word, the Son. You're a wicked generation. That'll be the end of it for you. So the Lord is really saying, and they refuse to listen. And he's not going to throw his pearls before swine. And so the parables are a way of partly hiding the truth. In a way, it's a kind of judgment on them. We've seen again in recent weeks, one of the most terrible things God can do to punish you for your sin is to leave you in your sin. To send you off into it. To let you have your own way. And that then you become so enmired in it and so lost in sin, it utterly destroys you. Well, in a very similar way, one of the worst things God can do is take his word from you. Close your ears to it. If you stop listening to God's word, stop believing and submitting to it, then the worst possible consequence is God will say, well, so be it then. And that's partly what's going on here. And the Lord quotes from Isaiah, just as they were in Isaiah's day. These people are like the ultimate demonstration of this. Of what Isaiah talked about. It is like I said with the kids earlier. It's like a child who puts his fingers in his ears and she goes, no, 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 no. Because they don't want to listen when you're telling them to do something. That's what the people were doing to Jesus. And so he gives them these parables as a rebuke, as a warning. You don't want to hear God's word? So be it. I'll hide it from you. Now you might find that a little bit surprising. Or shocking if you thought the parables were just nice little stories. But they're part of this bigger story. Matthew's gospel in particular is showing us of God's judgment on a sinful people who are so stubborn they will not listen. Now, again, what it means for us, for you, is it is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to ignore God's word. It is the fast road to destruction if you stop submitting to God's word. If the Bible says something is a sin, but you rather like that sin, you don't want to hear it. You want to be free to get on and do what you want to do. And even though it's very clear in the Bible, even though your own conscience deep down knows it, if you just harden your heart, say, I'm just not going to hear that. That is a spiritually perilous thing to do. If the Lord commands us in his word to do something, to forgive, to love, to give, to worship, and you harden your heart and you don't want to listen to that, you don't want to do it and obey it, you're in great danger that the Lord might give you over to that sin. We live as Christians by the words that come from the mouth of God, only by hearing them and feeding upon them and fully submitting and obeying to them do we live. And this is particularly the danger for us today, because you must recognize, church, you live in a time when there is so much compromised Christianity, when there's a facade of Christianity in places, but it picks and chooses which bits of God's word are real or true or should be obeyed. And when it comes into conflict with the world's values, whatever they happen to be that week, well then the bits of God's word are put away and it's compromised in order to fit in with the world. And again, we are not here to sit in judgment on God's word. God's word is in judgment over us. And understand, lots of people, they object to the truth of the gospel. Not because it's not true, not because they've studied it and really given it a fair hearing and looked at it. No, most people turn it away because if they were really honest, they don't want it to be true. They don't want to have to accept that they're a hopeless, lost sinner. That their life has to change, that they've got to repent. Now, Christians, we're often accused of having a closed mind, aren't we? or you're stuck in the past. You've got such closed minds, you Christian. The truth is the exact opposite. There's so many people who've closed their minds, won't even consider Christ and his claims, logically, rationally, objectively, because they don't want it to be true, don't want to change their life. They'd have to admit that he's Lord. So we never want to go down that road. And the Lord was speaking in parables because it revealed very clearly, it showed up this difference, who had closed their ears. And he was rebuking them. May that never be us. May that never be you. But he said, may our hearts be soft and open to the word of God. That we come to place ourselves under the word of God. That if God says it, it's the truth. So in this new light, you see then that what the parable of the sower is really about is, well, these very things that the Lord is teaching. It's a parable that explains the parables and what the Lord is doing in his word, his teaching. And above all, how important it is that you must open your heart to God's word. Let me try to apply it to you. What does this parable reveal about you and your heart and your listening? It's often been said that this shouldn't be called the parable of the sower. It should be called the parable of the soils, because that's really where the focus is. These different soils where the seed lands. It's the different ways that people receive the word of God. The sower is the Lord Jesus and those who serve him. And the seed is the good news of the gospel, which is his invitation to life in the kingdom. And don't you just love that his offer in the gospel is to everyone? There's something ridiculously, abundantly generous about the way this sower is throwing the seed everywhere. Gordon could tell you, I'm sure, with his work on farms, that's not how you want to use your precious resources if you want to grow up a good crop. But the sower is so generous, he's just throwing it everywhere. It's the abundant, generous offer of the gospel that Jesus offers to you, to me, to everyone. Come to him. And so there is this gospel he's throwing out. But then look at verse 19. This first batch of seed that falls on the wayside, or the hard ground, you could say. Eaten up by birds straight away. And the Lord is saying, look, there's some people who just refuse to give him a hearing at all. They will not give the gospel the time of day. Their mind's made up. Their ears are closed. They're not even going to consider it. Oh, no, no, no. I don't believe in those fairy tales. I'm a 21st century person. I'm very enlightened. I don't need those children's stories. And their mind is locked up tight already. And so the good seed of the truth, it just bounces right off them. And they are easy pickings for the devil. Is that anyone here? Is that you? Have you already made up your mind? Soften your heart this morning. Hear God's word. Oh, then there's the second kind, verses 20 and 21. Some seed falls on the stony ground, and at first it seems to grow and come up quickly, but then the hot sun scorches it. It just burns away. There are some people, the Lord says, who at first they seem to really welcome him and welcome his word. They're happy to hear the good news of God, our Father, his love, his forgiveness, a place in his kingdom. But they're not so keen on the other bits of the message. That you must endure, you must persevere. There is going to be suffering. There's going to be persecution. It's going to be obedience and sacrifice if you want to be a Christian. And then the moment anything like that comes along, they're out the door. It's not what they wanted to hear. Their hearing, their obedience was superficial. There was no depth, the Lord says. And it got in the heart. Again, is that anyone here? Have you really opened your heart to Christ and fully committed that you're with him to the end? Soften your heart to the word of God. But then third, in verse 22, Some seed falls amongst the thorns and the good seed gets choked as it grows up. Now, there are some folks who hear the word of God, but kind of in their hearts, they belong to both camps, to God and the world. They want Christ and they want sin. They want the benefits of salvation, but they also want the benefits of living like they're not a Christian, being able to indulge themselves and all those other sinful things. And even over time, pursuing worldly things, it comes first before God, career, money, comforts, those things. And the anxieties about them, they slowly strangle the spiritual life. Again, it proves not to be real. Maybe you could say they're only listening to Christ with one ear. And again, not the full commands for obedience of life given to him. Is there anyone here that, if you're honest, worldliness, or the distractions and desires, they have crowded Christ and his word out of your life? Is that you? Soften your heart. Open yourself to the word of God. But then the last batch is seed that falls on good soil. Seed that finds a resting place. And so this is the heart that fully welcomes in Christ and his word. And it puts down deep roots. It changes their whole life and it grows up into much fruit. There's a great harvest in this person's life. A life of righteousness, of love, of service and peace, of godliness, and ultimately the fruit of eternal life. And these yields that the Lord speaks of 30, 60, 100 bushels, well, in the Lord's time, I'm told that a really good field, might produce 30 bushels if you got really good year. And so to speak of 60 and 100 is unbelievable. That's like messianic new creation levels of abundance of fruit. And I think the Lord is encouraging us that if God's word has your heart, you can be transformed. You can be wonderfully fruitful as a Christian. You can bear much fruit in your life. Do so much good. 100-fold of a harvest. And the way to be a fruitful Christian then is to have God's word in your heart. To let it rule you. Live in you. Guide you. I pray that that will be us. That we'll be a people who love God's word. Grateful for the Spirit's gracious work, and who love and obey God's word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we are sorry, Lord. We are humbled before you that in our sinfulness we are so blind to the truth that unless your Spirit helps us, we just don't see it and we'll never believe. And so we humbly thank you for his gracious work, that he's come to open our eyes and to save us by changing our hearts so they welcome your word. And we ask, Lord, for your powerful work here this morning, that you would make us a people of your word, make us a people of good soil, who bear much fruit for you in their lives. Lord, we pray that you would do the work of pulling out the thorns and softening the ground, that you would help us to hear, to really hear and believe. And Lord, if there be anyone here today who may have at some time closed their heart to your word, Lord, we ask that you would also graciously soften and open their heart. We thank you again, Lord, for your word and that it speaks to us and reveals the truth to us, and that through it we may know you the living God. Amen.